I want to get right into my message. I'm really, really excited. You saw in your seat today, we are starting a new sermon series called Battlefield. Battlefield. And I'm really excited. As I'm studying, preparing, there's so much to really talk about on this subject. But let me ask you this. Have you ever, and we got our sports fans who are out there, have you ever watched a sporting event? And as you're really excited to sit down, and maybe your team is in the championship game, and you're so excited, and you're watching a game, and you're like, I feel like my team is self-destructing right before my eyes. How many of you, do we have any Packer fans who have seen this happen at a playoff game at Lambeau Field? And you're like, you're so excited. We win this one last game, and we're in the Super Bowl. And we're like, I feel like the other team is not beating us. We're beating ourselves. It's called self-destruction. How many of you have ever seen a game like that? There's been plenty of games in Lambeau Field. And what happens is the team just kind of gets into a rut and they become their own worst enemy. And here's how it happens. Here's how it tends to happen. You know, they're playing a game and all of a sudden they make a mistake. And like, oh, man. And then it just seems like then they make another mistake. And then all of a sudden, now all they can think about is the mistakes that they've made. And don't, whatever you do, don't make that mistake again. Now all of a sudden they're so focused, instead of focused on beating the opponent, they're focused on so that they don't beat themselves. Anybody know what I'm talking about here? You've seen a game like that, and they wind up losing the game, self-defeated. And here's what I want you to catch, that because they lost the battle in their mind, they lost the game on the field. Let me say that one more time. Because they lost the battle that was going on in their mind, they lost the game that happened on the field. Has that ever happened to you before? Life is doing good, and the things are going well, and then all of a sudden something happens. Life happens. We've seen the bumper sticker, life happens, except they say it in a different way. But life happens, and it's bad. And somebody hurt you. Somebody wounded you. You made a mistake. You had a failure. And all of a sudden, all you can think about is the failure, the hurt, the rejection that came along with it. And you begin to, what happens is you just put a label on yourself. I'm a failure. I'm always going to be a failure. Or something to that effect. And then what happens is it's almost like you hear this voice in your mind, and then all of a sudden you begin to believe it. Have you ever been there before? You begin to believe it. You begin to live a self-defeated life. And a self-defeated life only leads to a self-destructive life. And because you've lost the battle in your mind, you begin to lose the battle in your life. And that's what I want to talk about in this sermon series. I believe that there's as many here today who you can totally relate with what I'm talking about, is this battle that's in the mind. I'm going to start this new sermon series called Battlefield. Everybody say Battlefield. You see, the Bible tells us, how many of you got your Bible with you this morning? Just hold it up loud and proud. Even if you have your phone, you're using your phone. You can use your phone as a Bible. There's a Bible. So you got your Bible. The Bible tells us that your mind is a battlefield. Inside your mind right now, you might be going through this battle in your mind. And what a battle is we know that there's always two opponents, and one opponent, the Bible says, who loves you, and he's got plans for your life, and he has given you promises, and there's so many things in store for you. And then we have this other opponent who is against you. The Bible says that he is an adversary, and we know his name. His name is Satan. We know that he's alive and he is working in this world, and he wants to bring destruction into your life. His objective is to put self-defeating thoughts into your mind and to convince you to destroy yourself. That's his plan. And here is the reality. The reality is most of the battles that you have faced in your life where either one are lost in your mind. Isn't that the truth? Most of the battles that you have won or lost happen in your mind. Greg Rochelle in his book said, Winning the War in Your Mind, says, the life we have, the life that you have, is a reflection of the thoughts that we think. Think about that. You see, many of the things that are happening in your life are really a result of how you've fought the battle in the past. In other words, you are where you are today because of your thoughts. Your thoughts have brought you to this place. Even Proverbs, Solomon tells us this. He says, for as a person thinks in his heart, so is he. In other words, your thoughts up to this date have helped shape you to where you are today. You are where you are today because of your thoughts. You are who you are today because of your thoughts. And whether you realize it or not, it may not feel like it. Maybe you've never thought of it this way, but you need to understand this morning, according to the Word of God, there's a battle going on. Can you let your neighbor know? Say, I don't know if you know this, but there's a battle going on. Go ahead and tell your neighbor. There's a battle going on. There's a battle. Now you tell the other person. Tell the other person, and you can be dramatic about it if you want. Just say, it's in your mind. It's in your mind. It's in your mind. There's a battle going on. And it's a spiritual battle. That's why it sounds like sometimes it's hard to connect, but it's spiritual. It's spiritual in nature. Listen to the language of the Apostle Paul as he uses to explain the current reality. He says this in Ephesians 6:12. He says, for we are not fighting, everybody put up their fists like this. We're not fighting against flesh and blood enemies. They're easy to identify. But against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against the mighty powers in this dark world, and against all evil spirits in the heavenly places. You see, when we think of a fight, you can put up your dukes again here. When we think of a fight, we think of two people maybe duking it out in a parking lot. Please don't do that as you leave church today. I've seen some couples come in, and I kind of saw them go up a little bit, but let's not do that here on church parking. I mean, when I was a kid, can I go there for a second here? When I was a kid, I was the youngest of four. I had three brothers, older brothers, and my mom would always say, if you kids are going to fight, fight outside. And what would my brothers do? They would just drag me outside. No, Mom, don't tell them that. Don't give them permission to fight. Okay. It's good to get that victimhood moment out there. So, but when you think of fighting, I think of this sport that is on sports channels today called MMA fighting. How many of you ever seen MMA? I mean, that is like all out. That's kicking, that's fighting, that's just jiu-jitsu, it's wrestling, it's vicious, and they'd stick these two guys in a cage, and they just go at it like a bunch. Oh, it's bad. But Paul tells us that we are engaged in a fight. Everybody put your fist up here. But it's different. Everybody say it's different. No. It's not like this. It's different. It's a different type of battle that you're in. So it's not fists, it's not guns, it's not tanks or airplanes or bombs. You're not fighting a physical opponent. You see, a lot of times there's people that you can identify and like, oh, that's my enemy. But the reality is Paul's saying, nah, it's not really. That person is not really your enemy. The enemy, he exists in the spiritual realm. This fight that you're involved in, I'm talking about this morning, is spiritual, and I want you to know, please hear me on this, the battle is real. It's legit. It is real. And you are battling spiritual forces. Did you hear what Paul says? He describes them. He says they're like evil forces and authorities of the unseen world. In other words, I don't know exactly how it works, but it sounds like there's kind of a hierarchical structure. It's kind of like an organized army. You know, you got the commanders and the generals, the lieutenants, the captains, you know, on down the ranks here. And he's describing it as an organized structure. There's different levels of authority and influence that are existing in the world. And then he says it's against mighty powers in this dark world. So he highlights the influence that the evil is shaping in this world. So it's not just here, but it's happening all around the world. And he says there's evil spirits in heavenly places. You know what he's talking about here? It's like right now we're in the physical realm, right here. Just kind of do like this. And, okay. Some of you are like, I'm hungry, I'm tired, I'm bored. Okay, physical realm. But Paul is describing there's a spiritual realm that exists. And it's sometimes hard to explain, but you know it's there, right? Raise your hand. He's like, yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about. There's a spiritual realm that is outside there. And that spiritual realm, a lot of the things that happen in the spiritual realm, it manifests into the physical realm, right? That is the truth. What happens up here leaks down into the heart, and then it gets manifested into our actions, and it decides, makes a lot of decisions on our lives. And so what the Bible, what Paul is trying to tell us is that we're involved in spiritual battle, and the only way you can fight a spiritual battle is not like this. This is not how you do it. You're not going to win any spiritual battles. But it happens. And this, we're going to talk more about this. Some people call this, it's called spiritual warfare. Spiritual warfare. That's what a lot of this sermon series we're going to be talking about is spiritual warfare. I want to encourage you, if you feel like you're in spiritual warfare and you're losing, this is a great sermon series for you. But I want you to know, in spiritual warfare, you just might be like just Mr. Bodybuilder. You could be MMA wrestler of the year. You could be Muhammad Ali. You can be whoever you think you are, but you're still going to lose this war if you don't fight in spiritual realm. You see, victory comes when we rely on God's strength and his resources. In other words, the battle is not yours. We fight on our knees. We fight on our knees. We fight with spiritual weapons. Spiritual weapons. 2 Corinthians, Paul tells us this, 2 Corinthians 10, 3 through 4. He says, for though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. Put up your dukes one more time. This is not how you fight spiritual battles. For the weapons we fight with are not the weapons of this world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. Strongholds. We're going to talk about strongholds here in just a minute. But I want to talk to you about your spiritual weapons. You have spiritual weapons. If you are a Jesus follower today, raise your hand. You raise your hand, Jesus followers. You have spiritual weapons. You're not left defenseless. You see, the number one I would tell you is, can you just hold up your Bible, Raina? Hold it up one more time. You know what the Bible calls this, refers to this as a sword. A sword it's not only, a sword is not only an offensive weapon, but it is a defensive weapon. This is the most powerful thing that you have here. It is, some refer to it as the word of God. It's God's word. It is your sword. Hebrews 4:12, not in your notes, but on the screen, it says, for the word of God, talking about your Bible right here, is alive and it's powerful. It is sharper than any sharpest two-edged sword, cutting between the soul and spirit. Do you see how it gets into the spiritual realm here? Between joint and marrow, it exposes our innermost thoughts in your mind and your desires. You see, what God's word does, there's so many things. Just so much I could talk about here. But I want you to know God's word, what it does for me is it reminds me of God's promises. Man, I read stories and stories over here, and God gives a promise, and sure enough, God shows up in those promises. It provides direction for my life. It reveals to me the truth, that I have truth. I don't have to look to this world for the truth. I already have the truth in my word. But we have a spiritual weapon called God's word, but we also have this thing called prayer. And we fight on our knees and we're calling out to God. You see, when you pray, when you go into spiritual battle on your own, you are nothing's going to happen. You're weak. But when you go and you say, hey, God, God, he's messing with me again. He's messing with me. And he jabbing, Lord, I need your help. Lord, will you? I can't do anything, but Lord, will you help me in this battle? And all of a sudden, we are calling in like ultra special forces into the situation, and we bring him into the battle. And I want you to know there is power in your prayers. The most powerful prayer, the most powerful prayer that you can pray is, God, help me. God, help me. And you're bringing God into the situation. But not only this, and this is a big one. A lot of people like, spiritual warfare? Really, this next one? The next one is, so we got God's word and we have prayer. But this is a big one, and it's called praise. It's what we just did here just a few moments ago. That's why we will always start off our services in worship. How many of you have noticed that what praise does? You know, in our worship time. How many of you just come into service and you just cranky as all get out and you just had one of these in the car with your wife and you're like, I don't even feel like being here. I don't know why we have to be here today. And all of a sudden the music starts. Well, I like that song. That's kind of cool. And then you start reading the words of the song like, yeah, that's right. Oh, God, yeah, forgive me. I'm sorry. Oh, yes, Lord. Yes, God, I give you praise. I give you honor. Oh. Man, Satan hates this. Oh, he hates when you do this. Oh, man, he hates it. Drives him crazy because, like, no, I'm not defeated anymore. I claim the victory that I have in Christ Jesus. I am victorious. I give you praise. Can we just give God praise right now? Thank you, Lord. God, we give you praise. You do not leave us nor forsake us. Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. I give him praise. And if you ever feel like you're in spiritual warfare, you just begin to give God praise because it reminds Satan of his future, and that drives him crazy. But Paul mentions these things called strongholds. Strongholds. Here's what a stronghold is. It's an impenetrable fortress built at the highest peak. So I love to study history. And one of the things of history that I like is great battles. And there was this great battle that freed all of Europe from Nazi Germany. And it was the Battle of Normandy, the D-Day invasion. And so the Germans, they had these forces, and they had these bunkers. And they just built them up on the highest heights. And what they would do is they were just made of reinforced concrete, and they just had these little narrow openings, and they had these guns, and they would just look out at the beach and just... That's kind of cool, doesn't it? And it would just be this battle, and these guys were just sitting ducks on the beach. And their number one objective, get to those bunkers. Take out those bunkers. If we don't take out those bunkers are going to take us out. So they would have special forces. They had been trained and like to do all that they can. Take out the bunkers. If we don't do this, we're going to die. And they would rain down fire on them. Listen to me. The bunkers cannot be ignored. We can't ignore these bunkers. That's what. And so you see these pictures here. And I would refer to these as, some of you have these in your mind. And Paul says that these are strongholds. And for some of you, the Satan has just been and just taking you out left and right. Every day you wake up, he's like, I'm just stuck here. I'm always going to be stuck here on this beach, defeated. And that's what Satan does. He's working as hard as he can to create strongholds in your mind. What happens is let me give you a few examples of strong here. And I joked about it here for a few moments, but some people are in that place, a stronghold of victimhood. And some of you, for legitimate reasons, you're legit. Somebody hurt you. Somebody wounded you years ago, or maybe just recently. And it wasn't fair. And it wasn't right. You didn't deserve it. You didn't do anything to anybody, but somebody victimized you. We live in that world, and you can't help but stay in a stronghold was built in your mind, and you just kind of live the rest of your life as a victim. That person who I trusted victimized me, and now I can't trust anybody, so I just kind of live my life like this, and nobody's ever going to hurt me again. Everybody is out to get me. Or sometimes we have the stronghold of fear. The fear is just, I'm afraid to move forward. And you just kind of live in a state of anxiousness. And I can't do that. I can't. When God's word says, you can. Sometimes there are some people who, they struggle with self-doubt. And constantly that negative self-talk is going through your mind. You tried it one time and you failed. And that's all you hear in your mind. You're a failure. You're a failure. You're never going to be able to achieve anything. And then there's some people who struggle with the stronghold of addictions. This is one of the biggest ones that are out there. I'm like, hey, I'm just out there having fun. It's not a big deal. But all of a sudden, you wake up one day, and it's not about fun. It's about an addiction, and I need to have that in my life. And it's just that stronghold becomes reinforced and reinforced. The more you do it, I reinforce. And now it is legit. I can't break away from it. Strongholds. I remember, I've talked about this before, but I grew up in a home, and I joke about my brother. I love my brothers, but brothers were brothers. They do and say things to each other, and my brothers, I was the youngest of the brothers, and whenever I would just be curious about something, I'd take something apart, and a brother would come out, hey, what are you doing? I'm like, I don't know. I'm taking this apart to see how it works. You'll never figure it out. You're stupid. And I'd be doing this, and I'm playing around, and like, hey, what are you doing? I'm like, I'm just playing around. Like, don't do that. That's stupid. And no joke. And I begin to get it in my mind that I was stupid, that I'm not smart. And then all of a sudden, you know, I was in school, and school didn't come easy to me. And I just started to buy in this lie. I mean, my brothers tell me this all the time, and I'm not really good at school, and I must be stupid. And as I got older, I just begin to just wrestle with that all the time. Just not smart enough, not good. And Greg Rochelle says, our minds are always moving in the direction of our strongest thoughts. And that was my thinking. But I knew that God had a calling in my life to ministry. And I knew that college would be a part of it. And so I went to college, and I didn't do very well, and I always battled in my mind about this thing. And then I graduated from college barely, became a youth pastor. And I knew that God had a calling on my life, and I could not live in this realm. And I went to this conference called a Breaking Free Conference, and God just really identified this bunker that was in my life, and I needed to take special focus on this bunker. I needed to take this bunker out because it was taking me out. And I needed to say, no more, no more. I begin to address it through God's word and through prayer and through praise, and breakthroughs begin to happen, and all of a sudden that bunker got hitting, and God began to take that bunker down in my life, even to the point where just a few years ago I felt God was calling me to get my master's degree. And man, and all of a sudden those thoughts kept coming up. That bunker started shooting at me. You're stupid. You're dumb. You'll never be able to do it. I'm like, no, but God is calling me to do this. And I had to, honestly, every Sunday night I had to write a paper. Every Sunday night I just wrestled with, like, you're not good enough. You can't do this. Why are you even doing this? You're wasting a lot of money. You're stupid. And I battled it. Battle. I still sometimes battle with it today. But I'll tell you this. I'm the only one in my family who has a college degree. I'm the only person in my family who has a master's degree. And I don't say that out of resentment, but I say that like, hey, strongholds can come down. You don't have to live under the oppression of a stronghold in your life. Amen? Amen. You don't have to live there anymore. Just say, I don't live there anymore. I don't live there anymore. So today we're going to talk about fight. We're going to fight. We're going to fight this battle. If we're going to fight this battle, the first thing that we're going to do, if you want to follow along in your notes, you have to be aware of your enemy. So I want you to know this morning you have an enemy, and his name is Satan, Lucifer, whatever name you want to use, and he is the devil, and he is alive, and he is active today. He's alive. He is a spiritual creature, and he is after your soul. Listen to what Peter says here, 1 Peter 5:8. He says, stay alert. Everybody said, stay alert. Watch out for your great enemy, the devil, Satan. He prowls around like a roaring lion. I call him a liar. Everybody say liar. He's a roaring liar. We'll talk about that here in a minute. Looking for someone to devour. So he said, listen, Christians, Jesus followers, you got to be alert. You got to be alert. So many times we are just alert of all the people that we think are the enemies in our world, and it's not that person. It's the spirit that's in this world. We need to be alert of him. And Jesus says he comes to steal, kill, and destroy. I talked about this a few weeks ago. He's come to steal your joy, kill your faith, and destroy your hope. And this is his objective. His objective is to tempt you to doubt God and yourself. He wants to trigger you into making dumb choices. And he wants to torment you with self-defeating thoughts. But then he says here in verse 9, he says, but stand firm. Everybody say stand firm. Stand firm against Satan and be strong in your faith. Remember that your family of believers all over the world is going through the same kind of suffering you are. So he says, stand firm against him. You're not defenseless in this battle. Stand firm against him. He cannot make you, listen to me, as many of you think, he cannot make you do anything that you don't want to do. Right? You have this thing called free choice, a free will. But again, Peter says, be strong in your fight. Fight your battles with your spiritual weapons, with the word of God, through prayer and through praise. We are loaded. We are loaded. Listen to how Jesus describes Satan in John 8:44. He says, he, talking about Satan, was a murderer from the beginning. He has always hated the truth because there is no truth in him. When he lies, he is consistent with his character, for he is a liar and the father of lies. I want you to know that your enemy is a professional liar. His number one weapon of choice is to lie. Have you ever been lied to before? Have you ever been lied to by somebody who's like, they totally got you. And the reason why people want to, the reason why they lie is they want to deceive people to believe something that isn't true. And people do it for various reasons. Have you ever met a compulsive liar? Raise your hand. How many of you just lied to me? No, just kidding. Here's a compulsive liar. Here's my definition of a compulsive liar. A compulsive liar is a lying liar who loves to lie a lot. That very profound, isn't it? Compulsive liar is a lying liar, and he just loves to lie a lot. Okay? They're liars, and that's what Satan is. Years ago, I was running marathons. And I was training with this guy who was a professed addict. He had an alcohol addiction, okay? And he was running with me, and you know, he's really trying to deal with that addiction. And just out of nowhere, we're talking about the addiction as we're running, and we're on a training run. And we're talking about addiction. And he says, hey, how do you know when an addict is lying to you? I don't know. I don't know. He says, when his mouth is moving. I'm like, are you lying to me? how do I know? But we know that Satan is a compulsive liar. So how are we going to fight? Talk about this. Number one, we need to be aware of the enemy, that he is a lying liar who loves to lie a lot. Okay? So we're going to be aware that he's a liar, and he's really good. So we can't trust what he says. Number two, we need to know the truth. So the opposite of truth is a lie. A lie is anything that doesn't line up with God's goodness for you. Have you ever fallen for a lie before? Question for you. How can you know, listen to me, how can you know you're being lied to if you don't know the truth? If you don't know what the truth is, how can you know? You know, I think one of the biggest struggles among Christians in the Christian world today, you talk to pastors, here's one of the biggest challenges that is happening today, and I think it's gotten worse, is biblical illiteracy. In other words, people have a nice, shiny Bible, but they've not read it. It's not a daily part of their lives. And to be honest, they don't know what they believe. They don't know what they believe. I read this interesting article by Barna Research, and they reported this: of only 60% of American adults can name even 5 of the 10 commandments, okay? This one gets 12%, this is funny, 12% believed that Joan of Arc was Noah's wife. 50% believe that Sodom and Gomorrah was a married couple. That's a funny one. If you don't get the humor of that, you got to look that up. Okay. To avoid falling for a lie, you must first have a strong foundation in its truth. God's truth can only be found in God's word. Have I said that enough yet? Can only be found in God's word. Jesus says this in John 8. Jesus said to the people who believed in him, "You are truly my disciples if you remain faithful to my teachings, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." How many of you remember the show The Apprentice? The Apprentice, way back in the day. Some of you are maybe not Trump fans. This is not a political statement, but I'm going to say Donald Trump. Don't get mad. Okay? So he used to have this show. And people, like this one, it was a very popular show, 14 seasons, where you had these young business people, and they wanted to be an apprentice to Donald Trump because he was ultra successful, and they wanted to kind of be like him. So they would have this competition, who was going to be his apprentice. And so, and, you know, and if you got voted off of his island, he would say, "Hey, you're fired." All right, so just know what I'm talking about. Apprentice is someone who follows the leadership of someone else to become like them. That's what a disciple is. That's what you are called to be, that you would follow Jesus so closely that you become like him. But here's the biggest hindrance to that happening. The biggest hindrance is you. The biggest hindrance for you following and becoming more like Jesus is you and our struggle with this thing called self-discipline. I just appreciate so much the men's group that is happening here at Thrive Church. I have some gentlemen over here. I'm pointing at you three gentlemen who are leading the way with this men's group. And they're reading this book. They're going through this book called The Disciplines of a Godly Man. It's really about, hey, we have all of these weapons. We have all of these things out there. We just need to walk in self-discipline. Here's another phrase that I would call it. We need to put ourselves into position for God to work in our lives. And so how we do that with God's word is we each and every day, we have to make the decision to, number one, open God's word. Okay, now that's step one. Step two is now we need to read God's word. The next step is now we're going to study God's word. And now I'm going to memorize God's word. I'm going to start declaring God's word. I'm going to start applying God's word. Nobody can do this for you. It's you. We're not defenseless. I just want to say this. Here's a warning. If you don't know the truth, you will fall for a lie every single time. So how are we going to fight? Number one, we're going to beware of our enemy. Number two, we're going to know the truth. And number three, we're going to reject the lies. Everybody say reject the lies. Paul's warning, he says here, 2 Corinthians 10:5, he says, "For we demolish strongholds and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And we take captive captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. So that word pretension is kind of like a really bold, arrogant, and it can be even be a lying claim. And Satan uses pretentious words all the time. Like, you don't need God. You don't need church. You don't need to go to church to get to heaven. You don't need to go to the men's group tonight. You don't need to. I don't have to read my Bible today. I know who Sodom and Gomorrah is. It's a city. I already know. Maybe he gives these pretentious statements to people who are struggling with addiction. He makes statements like, you got this. You've been working hard. You've been clean here for a couple weeks. You deserve a reward. You can go out and enjoy yourself for one evening. You can have one drink. It's not gonna hurt anything. You can look at that website and just look at one page. It's not going to hurt anything. You've worked hard. You deserve it. Those are pretentious thoughts. And Paul says that now that we know the truth, we need to take action. And we need to, like, say no. We need to take captive those thoughts. Like, no. How many of you have ever crossed the border into Canada or into Mexico, driving into Canada, Mexico? You come to this point, you have to get in line, and you have to go through a checkpoint. And they put the gate down, they come up, and you have to give them your passport, and they're going to go through your vehicle and stuff. And anything that they say is not, any contraband that's not allowed in their country, it ain't going in. They're taking it out of your car and they're throwing it away. Now you can go in. And this is the imagery that I think Paul is trying to give us here. It's like we need to start having checkpoints in our mind. When these thoughts start coming away, it's like, that sounds a little pretentious here. That sounds like a kind of thing a liar would say. We need to stop. We need to close the gates and say, no, time out. No, that ain't coming in my mind, because God's word says this. I'm going to start declaring truth. No, get that out of here. Get out of here. No more. No mas in my house. No more. In other words, Paul is trying to tell us we need to start thinking about what we're thinking about. If you want to win this war, we got to start thinking about what we're thinking about. And then the last thing we're going to do quickly here is we're going to stand firm. Everybody say, stand firm. Paul tells us in Galatians 5:1, it is for freedom that Christ has set you free. You see, there was a big debt. Mary talked about it earlier. There's a big debt on the cross that was paid for your freedom. And now that we're free, we need to stand firm in that freedom and not let ourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. And so now that we have this freedom, don't go back. Tell your neighbor, don't go back. Don't go back. Don't go back. You see, somebody said this great line. With freedom comes responsibility. So my wife and I, we went to the draft in Green Bay just yesterday. And you see all these players who have worked so hard to get to this point in their life, and now their pictures on the screen, they have been drafted. And it could be the temptation like, I'm drafted. I can just now take it easy. I finally made the team. Isn't it great? I'm like, man, I don't have to work out anymore. I can eat whatever I can just do whatever I want. Woo-wee, right? How many of you would, like, that would be the most foolish thing that person could do right now in their mind? I've made the team. And some of you might be thinking that in your minds, like, I asked Jesus into my heart. I made the team. Whew. Like, no, he's been giving you a freedom. You've been set free from your sin. Why would you go back? Don't go back. You need to continue to fight. Everybody say, fight. I'm going to fight for my freedom. I'm going to use the weapons that God has given to me. I'm going to stand firm in this fight. You see, whenever those lies come my way, I'm going to stand firm by, number one, I'm going to recognize the lie because I know the truth. And when I know the truth, I'm like, oh, no, that's not the truth. I recognize that lie coming my way. And so now that I recognize the lie coming my way, I'm going to renounce it. No, out, get out of my house, and I'm going to reject it out of my life. I'm not going to walk in that direction. I'm going in this direction. We're talking about fighting here. I'm going to fight. And for some of you, this is what you need to do in your spirit. Because for too long, you've just been, hey, just whatever happens, you know, just let it go. And Satan's just having victory in your mind all the time. We're going to be talking about transform, renewing of your mind. I just believe some of you, your mind needs to be transformed and renewed. And the way that we're going to fight is we're going to beware of the enemy. He's out there. I'm going to get to know this truth. I don't understand everything that's in this book, but I'm going to discover what the truth is. And when the lies come my way, no. Out. I'm going to stand firm in the truth. In Jesus' name. As we close out this service here today, I don't know where you are in the battlefield of your mind, but everything I'm talking about this morning, I deal with on a regular basis. You know why? Because I'm in a battle. And Satan doesn't like when his strongholds get taken out. But I'm fighting. One of these days, when I'm in heaven, I won't have to fight anymore because the victory will already be won. But if you're here this morning and you're fighting the battle of the mind, I want to pray over you. I want to pray that God just gives you victory. You're just out of an act of faith. Would you raise your hand? You're struggling with the battlefield of your mind. In Jesus' name, you see all those hands that are being raised up, Lord. They're struggling. The battle is real. We've believed the lies for all too long. Lord, I just declare today I'm going to start walking in truth. In Jesus' name, all around this room, start to set people free. It is for freedom that Jesus has set us free today. And I pray all throughout this sermon series, Lord, that we just begin to discover your truth and we are transformed by the renewing of our minds. In Jesus' name I pray. Before I close out this morning, I want to give you the opportunity. If you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and the Savior, that is the starting point. There is victory that will be won at that moment. If you've never accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I encourage you to do that right here, right now. Just pray this prayer with me. Just say, God, I need you. I recognize the victory that was won on the cross and the resurrection of Christ. I ask you to forgive me of my sins. I choose today to follow you all of my ways. Help me, Lord. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. You know, the Bible says, and whenever somebody does that, all of heaven rejoices. Can we just rejoice with heaven today?